The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Happy you all are here on this, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Just going through the Pentecost season. With the green, as I mentioned before, is supposed to symbolize the Word of God growing in the church. And through that growth, you see the church grow from there. And through the book of Acts, that's all that's going on. And continues today. So it's a wonderful thing, beautiful thing. Happy you all to be here to hear God's word and receive his good gifts. One quick thing that we'll remember in our prayers, you notice Barb's not here. Barb had a bird. And her brother, Ron, passed away on Friday. And so we're going to remember him in our prayers and continue thinking for that and the friends and family. So let's continue with that. In receiving God's word, his good gifts, his assurances of the resurrection and the life. So let's begin by singing our first hymn on our first page. Ezra, please sing.
Blessed. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Our reading from Psalm today comes from Psalm 123, and we read responsively. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens.
Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master.
As the eyes of a maid servant to the hand of her mistress.
So our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we have had more than enough of contempt.
Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are babies, of the contempt of the proud.
We sing.
Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He said unto me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me, and he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are also impudent and stubborn. I will send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Epistle lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of God. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man cannot utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in my own weakness. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have
Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at it. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching, and he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord,
have
the Lord have patience on your house, and the grace of your
glory. We sing our hymn, "O Christ, our true and only light." Please be seated.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, amen. The text for our meditation comes from 2 Corinthians 12. And I want to read again what Paul writes towards the end of those verses. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I get hung up on the beginning of that little section there with "a thorn was given me in the flesh." That this thorn, or sometimes a splinter, as can be also read, was given to Paul in the flesh. And we don't know what that thorn was. There's people that have, you know, written maybe too much on what this thorn could actually be. A lot of people might say it's his eyes because of the vision he had of Jesus and the situation he had, that his eyes were bad, and this was his thorn. Or it was some other disease, something more physical that actually affected the way he walked, or various ways like that. But there was one I actually kind of appreciated. 3 years ago, there was this movie that came out called Paul the Apostle, or The Apostle Paul, or Paul, Apostle of Christ. And the guy that was a part of it was also played Jesus in The Passion. And so it was kind of along the same line of movies, right? And they tried to give a description of what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. And what they seemed to suggest was that Paul's thorn in the flesh was actually a form of PTSD, some post-traumatic stress that Paul dealt with for his life. That he was actually, the thorn in his flesh was actually before he was converted and made into a Christian. And it was those times as a Pharisee killing and murdering Christians across Judea. And that his thorn in the flesh was actually the culmination, or the realizing these things and dealing with bad dreams or nightmares and over the effect of what he's done to Christians before, and now he himself is an apostle. And I always thought that was a pretty nice description, or a nice way to think about what the thorn in the flesh Paul could be dealing with here. Because it makes it real of our own situations, but also shows just the kind of history and person that Paul transformed into, from being one who was Saul, who murdered Christians and persecuted the church, and now he's an apostle, speaker of Christ, writes half the New Testament. And the fact that this was his thorn in the flesh, if it was, just shows how much he would use that weakness to glorify Christ, to gladly take on the weaknesses of our own thorns. That's something we don't deal with well. I think reading a text like this in our culture, in our way of life here, especially in America, it seems like weaknesses are actually the strength of many people. That your own thorns, your own weakness, your own ways of identifying who you are is decided on your weaknesses. And the way our world here and our culture seems to be, that if you can find strength in your weaknesses, the weaknesses are actually somehow good. That the thorn is good. Good because it's a way to identify who you are and give you some sort of, I guess, strength, or some sort of moral righteousness, as opposed to others who do not have to deal with those things. whether it be with the groups you're involved in or the communities you try to find online, that you are part of this group who is weak or has these weaknesses, but the weaknesses is not the fault of your own, but it's actually something that strengthens you in a way that makes the weaknesses not true of who you truly are. Whether you struggle with something like alcoholism or a PTSD sort of situation, like Paul maybe, that those weaknesses are actually the strength in you because it's of who you are, rather than what Paul would suggest, that the weaknesses is supposed to glorify Christ. I don't think we like the weaknesses, and we try to put a better spin on it. Maybe if I can look at my own limitations, my own weaknesses, my own thorn, and put it in a positive light, maybe it's okay. Maybe it'll make it better for me. Better for others, better for, well, at least getting by. But I don't think that's what Paul is talking about when he wants to boast in his weaknesses. Because Paul realizes that the weakness he has, the thorn he has, is not something that he should have. It's not something that's good. It's not something he wants to be identified with. He asked the Lord 3 times to remove it, to get rid of this thing. But the Lord doesn't do that. To keep him from being too elated is what Paul says. And what Jesus says to him is that my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And maybe that's the rub a little bit. Because if your weaknesses, your limitations, the thorn in your flesh is supposed to be the power that gives you strength and all these things, what does that actually look like? Because I think what the world suggests is that you inherit and grab on to those weaknesses and take it as yourself and use it to see it for good. But I think what Paul is saying, that the thorn in the flesh that was given for him was not given for him so that he can be identified with the weakness, the thorn in his flesh. But that in it, Christ would actually be glorified. That faith will be revealed in how he lives and what he does. Because the thing about limitations, think about weaknesses, think about a thorn, something that grabs a hold of your life and makes things difficult, is that you realize how weak you really are and what little control you have, what little you can actually do. And so for some people who want to take on those weaknesses and create something new, make it seem like it's a good thing, all they want is to seek more control and have control of it so that they can create their own reality. And what Paul is saying is that the weakness itself tells him what God's reality is. That God is the one who's in control. That he has his own limits. And that the only thing he's able to do and how he's able to accomplish it is because Christ lives in him. And that God works through him to bring about the message, but also to bring about the love and care that Paul desperately gives to the people he serves. The thing that Paul's talking about, while it may be the thorn in the flesh, really what the weakness is an acknowledgement of who we truly are, the reality we all know but don't want to admit it, and that we're broken. And that we get weaker day by day. And that the props of life that we held on to, whether it be able to run a mile without stopping, or the vision that we used to be rely on so much, or even just something as simple as walking to our car without worrying about falling. As days go on, we realize those things are part of our weaknesses and shows us our limits. Yes, we are weak. But weaknesses that Paul talks about opens up the saving communication and the saving relationship between God and Jesus Christ. Because in our lament and our confession and even in our thanksgivings and in our praises, the weaknesses in ourselves and boasting in our weaknesses, we truly reveal and manifest what Christ has done for us. That he is the one who's in control, that he's the one who saves, that he's the one who gives forgiveness, and that he's the one who heals and brings about our own life. What Paul talks about really is only a reflection of what the story we already know. That it's by the cross, and it's by the weakness and suffering of Christ himself who went to the cross, that we are reconnected and brought into a relationship with our Father, our Heavenly Father. And if you know, and as you remember, it's in the resurrection, we see Jesus appear to his disciples with the marks of the nails on his hands and the marks on the side. And in some ways, we can maybe think like this was such a traumatic and powerful event that they're burned scars that even in the resurrection they can't be healed. But I don't think that's the point. I think the marks and the scars we see in Jesus Christ himself is because it's who he is and identifies him as God's Son. The Son of God who came to be crucified. That in his weakness, in his death, conquers death for you. And it's in his resurrection that we see who he truly is, the crucified Lord, for you. I was telling someone earlier, and I can't remember, The Great Divorce, that's what it was, C.S. Lewis. I know, I may bring him up too much, but he has good things. There's a story in there, a little passage, that talks about, and I'm trying to remember how it went, but there's a story of a man with a lizard on his shoulder, with a snake, that bothers him his whole life, and it's his weakness, it's his sin, that just grows and festers on his shoulder his whole life, and almost consumes him, but then at the end, when he dies and is brought to heaven to be with the Lord, that lizard, that snake, is transformed into a Pegasus. And it's on that horse that the man rises and flies into heaven. It's a kind of a weird little story, but what C.S. Lewis is trying to say is that our own weaknesses, our own sins, are so intimately attached to us that they actually bring out the glory of Christ within us and shows the life of faith that we've been given. That even in those hard things to deal with, those thorns in the flesh, those times of suffering, our own crosses, that it's in those and through those that the strength and power of Christ comes through the fullest. Not only in what God has done for us in Jesus, but also in the faith and trust and assurances we have in what he's done. So that we can live day by day trusting in what he's fulfilled for us and given to us. It's not something we do alone, but it's something we do and walk through together in our own weaknesses. and our own thorns and our own crosses, as the church, as Christ's body, we can support and love and share in those burdens with one another to assure each other of what God has given us. It's not some easy remedy to fix our weaknesses or our thorns. And as Paul reminds us, that even if we beg three times, the Lord may not relieve that thorn. But Jesus reminds us that his grace is enough. And it truly is. Jesus Christ's love and grace to you is enough. It may not feel like it most days, I know. And it's hard to maybe accept. But his grace is enough for you. And in that, maybe we can continue on sharing and loving one another, loving our neighbor, and being assured that Jesus Christ's grace is enough for you. And it's his name that we remember. Amen. We sing our hymn, "Before You, Lord, We Bow," found on page 8 in your bulletin.
God of God, light of light, very God of very God. begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing the canticle. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Heavenly Father, your Son endured rejection in this world. You lead us likewise through a hostile world that often rejects your church and your wisdom. Do not let us lose heart. Give us strength and courage so that we can rest confidently on what you have said. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy God, soften the hearts in every home. Turn parents and children toward each other in love and patience. Banish the spirit of wickedness, stubbornness, and rebellion from all. Sanctify us in your truth. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty Creator, you rule over and care for every part of your vast creation. You establish nations and leaders for the good of your creation, for protection and to uphold justice. At the same time, you call on us not to put our ultimate trust in princes. On this day, we especially want to give thanks for our nation and the many blessings that come from being Christians in this land. Lord, we ask that you preserve our home, that you give wisdom to our leaders, and allow us to live in peace. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Loving Savior, be with our brothers and sisters across the world who suffer persecution. May our prayers strengthen and encourage them as they trust in you. Give them peace and assurance in your promises. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, in our weakness we are strong for the sake of Jesus Christ, whose grace is sufficient for every need. Give comfort to those whose pain is chronic, whose suffering is unknown, who wrestle with difficult thorns in body or mind, or who are tempted to despair. Hear our prayers for Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Flav, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Mel, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, and Samantha. In weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, let us boast in Christ and his cross, by which we and our sufferings are sanctified. Bless and preserve members of our church who are separated from us for various reasons, especially Sandra, Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thursday, Jim, and Alex. Assure them of your promises and use us as your instruments to unite them in your body. And Lord, we also lift up this day the family and friends of Ron. Continue to be with them and assure them of the resurrection that Jesus Christ has won for us. Continue to bless and preserve, even in these times of mourning. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, bless and preserve our community. May our neighbors be open to hearing your word, and that we may be a witness of your love in our vocations. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, your almighty power is made known, chiefly in showing mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we may be called to repentance and made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray together.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same way with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn. Please be seated.
I invite you to take out the insert with some announcements.